Feedback's one of those interesting things because depending on the student, you can get people who take criticism well and some who don't take criticism well. And it's a real balancing act sometimes in making sure that you know the attitude does not become a problem, all right? And we had one situation where a patient actually got dropped, and it was the two crew members and the paramedic student. All three were at fault in the process. They had actually, you know, basically mechanical cot problem, patient got dropped. Okay, bottom line was, and they took the patient into the hospital, got him transferred off, coming back, and as they were discussing it, or, you know, discussing it amongst themselves, shall we say, my EMT student, some paramedic student, made the comment that he didn't think it was that big a deal. I don't think he meant that the patient got dropped. I think the overall, because all three of them had problems, he was taking it as that, and that had just been a general overall mistake. But the way he said it and using those words.
Did the patient get injured because of the drop?
Yes, actually he got a cut on his head. Okay, so it was, I mean, it was a serious injury, serious right. problem. But again, I think with using the words that I don't think it was that big of a deal, he condemned himself at that point from that site, contaminated his opinion. Everybody at that point assumed that he was a big hotshot who didn't really care about his patients, care about accidents happening. And we did too, we got a letter that day, got a call and then a letter that day basically saying, this student will not be able to work at this preceptor site anymore. First thing is, okay, he can't work there anymore because that's their site and we're working with them. And so if they don't want a patient, we're a student, we're not going to take it. So we did do that. We also then, of course, brought the student in and we had quite a long talk with him in his attitude, because along with this saying he didn't think it was a big deal, he was also the type of student who really felt he knew what was going on. He was a very good EMT, and give him that. But he wasn't a good medic yet because he was still a medic student, but he thought he was. And so that attitude came through, and we had to have quite a bit of attitudinal discussion and actually set up some remediation things on what we were going to be looking for above and beyond the normal clinical sites. He did agree when we talked about it, and he said he could see where he was being misperceived in what he thought was going on. So we kind of set up a remediation program saying, here's some things that we want to see you do, and expectations that we expect to see if you continue in the program. You know, it was that serious. We're like, you're on the verge of being eliminated. So far, he has continued to have good reports and improved and has taken that attitude to heart. So I think that while this was a bad incident, it may be good in the long run because it kind of brought him to a level where he realized that he's got a lot to learn yet, and that he's not ready to move forward on his own. And so it kind of came out well that way.
What sort of things did you say, or how did you construct your phrases to sort of bring these issues up with this student in a, constructive way?
Actually, when we first started talking with him, and we had already, he had already been received a letter from us saying, you've been removed from this site and we want to meet with you to discuss this. So he was a little bit humbled at that moment already. And then I went through and actually said, let me just give you a couple snippets of things you said to me that I know you were not meaning, because I know, you're talking, and one of them being he's from a very small squad in the mountains of West Virginia. And he goes back on weekends and runs there. So he comes back and tells stories. His stories include things like, boy, what a bunch of idiots they were up there. This is a really stupid thing this medic did. Telling good stories, but the terms he was using really were derogatory. Mm-hmm. And he did not realize that they were being derogatory to him. So I actually said, let me tell you what I heard you say. And I said, you called your medic a moron. Okay. You said that he didn't know, you know, that you basically demeaned his abilities. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I know that you think he walks on water because he's told me that too. So it's right. like, but what you're telling me is if somebody from the outside doesn't know the situation, what they're hearing is this guy can't do his job. And so I kind of went through with that type of thing saying, this is the phraseology you need to watch. Mm-hmm. Okay. These are the type of things. And then you need to then also, you know, and because it was more all along, it was more phraseology and the phrases he was using mm-hmm. than what he was thinking.
Right.
Okay.
I see. But so you sort of took, you know, you took stuff that he had actually said and then tried to bring it up in sort of a reflective right. way. So to Absolutely. Say, you know, here's what you were saying. Here's what you meant.
Yeah. Here's what you're saying. Here's what you're saying. And I know what you were meaning, but this is what I heard.
Right.
And, you know, I said somebody, especially with even less knowledge, would hear only this. And so, you know, that seemed, like I said, it seemed to have helped a little bit. Now, I mean, so far it seemed to have worked. I haven't any other reports or and his attitude grades on the FSDAP assessment form are actually went up, you know, so.
So was he was pretty receptive then
very much so. I mean, he realized again, when he got the letter from us saying, you know, and he also received because he had been sent home by the preceptor site that day, he had been kicked out of his, you literally kicked out of his site beforehand, you know, and told to go home. He knew that he had screwed up. He wasn't sure how, but he knew he had, you know. And so when, as we started talking about it, he was very receptive to learn how to fix it.
One of the things, and I would be interested to hear your opinion on this. One of the things that I noticed when I went through medic school mm-hmm. was getting feedback from, at least in my area, from my field preceptors mm-hmm. and stuff was really difficult. It was very difficult to know if I was doing well mm-hmm. or, you know, we really didn't hear when we were doing well. We mostly heard if you had screwed something up.
Yes.
Which makes, at least from a student side of things, it was very difficult to, you had to have a pretty thick skin
yes.
to exist in that kind of environment.
Yes.
And I just wondered, maybe you have some thoughts on, you know, that or how you can get better feedback, you know.
That's a good question. A very good question on how to get feedback, because you have one or two extremes. You either have all ones being poor or all fives. You got medics that won't give anybody any credit, or you mm-hmm. get somebody that they ironically said, oh, they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. You don't really get effective feedback a lot just in a number system. We actually meet with our preceptors and talk with them about what we would like to see them do. And we go over, we actually have the CD that we provide to our preceptors that they view and try to explain their role in their process so that we know what they're, so they know what they're trying to do and we know what they're trying to do. And we also then on the other side have the students that give us an evaluation of every site, not the preceptor per se, but the overall site for every run they do. And so we've used that sometimes because not so much field preceptors, but more hospital. We found every once in a while that sometimes a nurse and or a doctor don't work well with students or mm-hmm. don't want to have students around. And we need to make sure and talk with, you know, and when we have it, when it becomes, you know, every student has put in that this was a bad experience with, and they're hooked up with this preceptor, we're able to go to the hospital and say, we need to give them a vacation from handling students for a while. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to, you know, do that. But again, communication from our side to the preceptors of what's expected of them, including giving positive feedback when it's appropriate and negative feedback when it's appropriate is, you know, we try to explain, you know, they need both. Right. And we try to explain that to them and work through that. It seems to go pretty good. You know, like I said, I think I have, most of ours seem to fail more on the side of giving way too good a credit too early on. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they're not, you know, they give a five for skills in the number wise, but they had four missed IVs. It's like,
right.
Okay. Good technique, just couldn't succeed.
Right. So it's finding that balance.
Yeah, again, exactly.
You know, right. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make your students feel really bad, but
on the other hand, you can't
make them feel realistic about where
exactly,
they're at. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FSDAP with support from emsresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.